Ladies and gentlemen, we are live. KMS, Aiden, Birds vs. Boys, live on Twitter, live on YouTube. It is Tuesday night, 8:50 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I think we can officially say day two of free agency. Well, it's still the tampering period. day two of the tampering period is coming to a close. I would say work, well, for me, it's done. For you, who knows? Working hours are done, but that doesn't mean a flurry of moves may come, even when we're live here. But we're here to talk to you about the first 2 days of the tampering period, comma, how different they've been for two fan bases, how Groundhog's Day is here, how as much as things change, they stay the same, all in, inclusive vacation in Cabo. It's just this above me, if you're watching, believe, yeah. Ted Lasso, go F yourself, okay? Aiden, how are you? I have something funny I want to show you that's so ironic, but I'll let you say how you're doing, and then I'll get into it.
All right. Well, the lesson in Ted Lasso season one is it's the hope that kills you, and you guys actually believed that the Cowboys would be all in, and then look at here. It's the hope.
I did not.
It's true, but there was a lot of all in talking. Like, this might be different this time. I'm great. I would never complain about vacation, but I am willing to admit that I had so much fun on vacation that I was very, very tired these past few days. And the only thing that brought me back was the flurry of moves from the Eagles. I am rejuvenated, energized, and ready to go after what's been a very successful day one and day two of free agency for the Eagles.
Listen, I did a full show with you from Turks and Caicos on a balcony, and this guy's having too much fun in Florida to talk about football. But I get it. It was baseball season for those few days for you, and now you're back.
I needed a little, you know, it was a rough end to the season for the Eagles, so I had to go back to my boys. I had to watch the Phils a little bit, and now I'm back on the Eagles train. I just need a little break, a little refresher. Now here we are. Now Saquon Barkley's an Eagle. It all works out. What a vacation.
Works out for a lot of money for an injured player, but we'll get to that.
Yeah,
okay. All-time Twitter day for me, and all-time Twitter week, I would say, for just Twitter in general. These are the moments. These are the days. These are the weeks that Twitter was made for. I think COVID was a time where it just felt like we were just all tweeting together. When there's big sporting events or big moments happening, maybe, I don't know, a manhunt happening in Philadelphia, it just seems like everyone's together. And this is one of those times right now, NFL free agency.
People always threaten that they're going to like leave Twitter. And you know, I know people have increased those threats since the recent purchase of Twitter, but they're not, because you can get up the minute news that your team is signing all of these stars or not signing any stars at all and watching it happen. And then the jokes that ensue with every free agency signing is just, like you said, it's exactly what it's made for. It's just comedy mixed in with your team signing like all pros. It's literally like it's the virtual version of the high school cafeteria when you're growing up and everyone was talking sports. That's what Twitter is these past few days. That's why I love it.
Serious question. Is there one person that calls it X besides Elon Musk? I mean, I don't even think Elon Musk calls it X.
Once something's in my brain, it's stuck. You know that. That's why I still can't pronounce Jeremiah Usu-Karamoah. That's just because how I said it. Nothing can change in my brain once it's in there. So it's Twitter for me forever.
Well, good thing C.J. Gardner-Johnson's back then for you, because you must have thought he was on the team last year.
Yeah, no, he noticeably was not. We'll definitely have to get into that as well. Where would you like to start acquisition-wise?
Well, first I want to start with you something pretty funny. So before we got on, I was ending work. I'm in my office, my home office over here. My daughter, I have a toddler. She's 2 years old. Was in my office because she always wants to tap on my computer, and she thinks going to work is the coolest thing in the world. Stay a kid.
Dork.
Yeah, it's insane. She puts on my wife's like wedding ring. She's like, I go to work. I'm like, yeah, you can go work for me if you want. But she was in my office, and then I came in here afterwards, and she literally put a couple things on my desk that I didn't know she put on my desk. That is unbelievably ironic for the situation that is happening, not only on this show, but in my life right now. So the first thing, she somehow found my Cowboys helmet and put it on a baby. So that's just ironic because this maybe can you play linebacker or running back, maybe left tackle. So this is our second free agent. We have the long snapper, but baby is the second. The next is a book that I have, Atomic Habits, Tiny Changes, Remarkable Results. Maybe I can get this over into the hands of Jerry and Stephen Jones. Just tiny changes. And
that's Deuce Vaughn becoming the starting running back for the Dallas Cowboys. Tiny changes, remarkable results.
A $1 leapfrog bill that she has for her fake little ice cream stand. This seems to be the type of money that Jerry Jones is offering free agents to try and come play in Dallas.
Again, also the running back budget for the Cowboys, which has led to the tiny changes in Deuce Vaughn becoming the starting running back for the team.
And the last thing that she found and placed on my desk, a blood pressure cuff.
Which I needed when I found out that Saquon Barkley was going to be an Eagle.
Welcome to my life, everyone. Welcome to my life. I mean, I think we should start with the Cowboys because they have Trent Sieg. I mean, long snapper, signed, sealed, delivered. Welcome back. And we can move on.
Done. Yeah, that was awesome. So that was Talking Cowboys here on Birds First Boys. Again, that was a lot of fun. A very inept organization that doesn't do things very well. Now owes a quarterback $60 million and can't sign free agents because of it. So that was a lot of fun. Now on to the Eagles. We had some great signings.
Wait, can you just... 31 out of 32 teams made a transaction the first day. Can you imagine just being like that arrogant and being like, nope, 31 teams are wrong. We're right.
Yeah. I have a Cowboys point that I think everyone, Eagles and Cowboys, would agree with. Would you like to hear that? I think that this would be the point that you'd agree with, because I think you and I have like a similar football mind. Okay. You, the baby, will hear it and both agree. This is the thing that bothers me with the Cowboys and why I think they're inept. When you look at some of the things that the Eagles have done, take away the splash signing of Saquon Barkley. Today, they signed Matt Hennessy, who is an offensive guard / center with positional versatility, who started 22 games for the Falcons. He comes in and will be that sixth man on the offensive line since Suo Peta is gone, Jack Driscoll is gone, and last year, Landon Dickerson and Cam Jurgens at the guard position both missed time. So you may need that sixth guy. You may need that guy to play guard this year. And you bring in somebody who has, like I said, multi-positional versatility. Hennessy was a center at Temple. He's a guard in the NFL. He can play both. Center is now a position maybe of question for the Eagles. So they bring in a guy like that for $2 million. You don't need to make the splash moves that the Eagles are making, but the Cowboys aren't even doing that. Like, to not be working the margins with some of these things makes them so inept. You owe a quarterback and have a high price tag on your quarterback, so you should be working the margins to make your team better. What's stopping them from signing interior offensive?
They're on vacation.
It's dumb. It's dumb. It's dumb. It's dumb. It's so bad. Like, that isn't the problem. Like, yeah, they probably should have signed Derrick Henry, but that is not the problem to me. It's the fact that they don't work the margins with stuff like that. Like, here's an example. Michael Gallup just seems to be out the door in everyone's mind. Devontae Parker is now an Eagle, and the Patriots are paying him more to be an Eagle than the Eagles are. Why aren't the Cowboys doing that?
They're not good at their jobs.
Parker is an injury risk, but he's like, it's $1 million. It's so low risk, high reward. Who cares? It's just an added depth piece. Like, they don't do those like in between the margins things that make your team better.
It's almost like they're doing a bit at this point. Like, they're just like, nope, we're not getting involved in any day one, day two. And then they're going to wait 10 days into free agency and sign Benson Mayoa and then tell us what a great player he is. And then he's off the team in a year. Like, last year, right? We thought things might have been changing a little bit. They went out and they traded for Brandon Cooks, right? They went out, they traded for Stephon Gilmore. Moves that I think you and I both agreed were unlike them and impact. There are still players out there that can impact this team. But then not even the thing that you were just saying, but the Texans just traded a seventh for Joe Mixon.
Yeah, exactly.
A seventh.
Well, these low-risk, high-reward type of things. Why not?
Like, Deuce Vaughn is legitimately the only running back on the roster right now. And you could add Hunter Lipke, the fullback, as well. That's it. Rico Dowdle, free agent. I mean, chances are probably come back. We don't. But Tony Pollard. And I would not have paid that contract that he got in Tennessee. I am fine with them walking away from him. I am fine with Tyler Biadasz. I wouldn't have done that. Dorrance Armstrong. Like, everybody went to Washington. Dante Fowler. I'm fine with all of those guys walking away, but you need to find replacements for these guys.
Exactly.
And again, you don't have to go sign, you know, Danielle Hunter for $30 million a year. You don't have to go sign, even though Patrick Queen didn't get the $30 million a year everybody thought he was going to get from the Steelers. Yeah. So this is what scares me a little bit.
Who are you saving money for? If you're not even making the minor signings to fill out your roster.
They have to pay CD. They have to pay Micah. They have to do something with Dak. I get it. There's switches that can be flipped right now, and you can make about $25 million in cap space. But to not, like, I understand they build through the draft, right? That's their MO.
They're so lucky that they've been good in the draft.
Were they good last year, though?
Obsolete.
Mozzie Smith.
Yeah, well, then this is what backfires, because now you need help in every line within the defense because you didn't draft well.
If you're hinging this much on the draft, like, you have to hit on every single pick you have this year, and they don't have a lot of picks this year, right? They don't mm-hmm. have. So try and move Gallup for whatever, but they need to start making marginal moves, like you said. You have to replace your left tackle. Have to replace your center. You have to replace two running backs. You might have to. Stephon Gilmore still now sitting out there. You're going to have to replace a starting cornerback. Is Trayvon Diggs going to be ready to start the season? You might need a second cornerback. Jayron Kearse is gone. You're going to have to replace a starting safety. You're going to have to replace probably all of your starting linebackers besides Micah Parsons. Dorrance Armstrong is gone. He was second in the team in sacks last year. He's not there anymore. Hankins up the middle. I guess you could say one true one technique, also a free agent. It's the whole team.
Aside from that, how was the play, Mrs. Lincoln? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, yeah, there's plenty of talent still out there. And some of the best moves in free agency come after the fact, right? With the Eagles, one of the best signings that they've had recently was Hassan Reddick. And it wasn't like they did that at 12:01 in the tampering period. Like, that came way after the fact and was an incredible value deal at 3 years, $45 million, even though now he wants the extension and it'll go up in the price tag. But again, like, to just not be on the board at all with this many holes and to not even say to yourself, like, hey, let's just try it. Like, the safety pool is huge, you know? Like, why aren't you trying for guys like Jordan Poyer or somebody like that? You know, just like go out. You don't have to sign Xavier McKinney and pay all that money, although I love him and would have given him any amount of money.
Yes.
But, you know, there's other guys out there. That's the beauty of it. And
Jordan Poyer hasn't signed yet, I don't think, right?
He went to the Dolphins.
Dolphins, that's right. You're right. You're right. Sorry. But it's like they're making chocolate chip cookies and they literally just throw chocolate chips on the plate, put it in the oven. It's like one ingredient. They just one ingredient. That's it. They don't mix in a little bit of this, a little bit of that, roll the cookies up, put them. No, it's just chocolate chip cookies. Oh, here's some chocolate chips. There's your cookie.
They're just throwing melted chocolate on a tray and hoping it tastes good. Well,
it a cookie.
It'll probably burn, but yeah, it'll be good. That's another thing that I really like about what the Eagles did. Everything was taken care of internally before you looked externally. Brandon Graham was taken care of with the deal. The other two retired, so we knew where they stood. Landon Dickerson, the extension was agreed and worked out before free agency started. Everything was situated before free agency hit. So you knew the cap number that you were working with. You just mentioned something like, well, they still have to pay Micah and they still have to pay CD and work on these extensions. And they got to figure out what to do with that because his cap hit $60 million. Why are you working on that now? It should be done.
Thank you. Thank you.
that's another marginal thing where it's like, yeah, they'll get those things done. CD's not going to leave. Micah's not going to leave. But at the same time, it's like, why aren't you doing those things ahead of time?
I mean,
and those are two easy ones because it's not like you need the fifth year or fourth year to figure out if they're good. They're good. Ta-da. They're good.
Are they quietly in a rebuild right now without saying it because Jerry Jones will never say it? If you think about it, Mike McCarthy's on a one-year deal.
I hate that.
Mike Zimmer was brought in on a one-year deal. The rest of the coaching staff is on a one-year deal. Ugh. If they don't re-sign Dak, guess what? He's on a one-year deal.
I hate that, though. I hate that in the NFL because I don't think you need to go full rebuild. I think you can reload a position.
Absolutely.
It's not like baseball where you get stuck in like 7-8 year contract. Like, it's not like the Angels who are just stuck with Anthony Rendon. Like, it's really easy to get out of contracts in the NFL. It's not that hard.
And you can tear it down and rebuild while still, I don't know, making the playoffs, kind of like the Eagles did a couple years ago and then made the Super Bowl.
They did a rebuild and then made the playoffs that year, and then the next year played in the Super Bowl. Like, they finished with a winning record. 24-year-old
wide receiver from Tennessee for bag of balls and some peanuts.
Yes. And they're now trying to run out of town. Maybe don't trade him, because the last time someone traded him, they got fired.
And don't have a job now.
Yeah.
Well, no. Vrabel thought it was the stupidest move in the world.
Yeah, he was heartbroken.
It's wild, though, right now, free agency. It's so many names that we've just entrenched in our brain, like Henry, Titans. But that's such a great move. I love that for the Ravens. It's perfect.
Mm-hmm. And just sticking in the AFC North, Patrick Queen to the Steelers. That just feels like a Steeler.
Yep.
You mentioned it. I think that's a really good deal for him. What a great move. The Panthers getting Deontay Johnson. I don't know if that's a good move, but I need someone to remind me of that. Come fantasy football time when I draft Deontay Johnson for the 18th straight year, that he is a Panther now, not a Steeler. So I need to keep that in mind. Yeah, but you're right. Like, there's a lot of shape shifting. It's fun. I think the problem NBA wise right now is their offseason is more entertaining than their in season with their free agency and stuff like that, especially a few years back. I feel like the NFL has become that in terms of like the entertainment of the offseason, but they've also matched it in terms of like on field value. So they've got the best of both worlds. And these past few days have just been so much fun with everything moving around, and it'll continue to do so. Like, this just sets up next year where you're looking at the Vikings. Kirk Cousins goes to Atlanta. What's the appeal of Minnesota at this point? And now all of a sudden, Justin Jefferson is sitting there like, what am I doing here? Like, I'm just going to live in Minneapolis. Is that fun for me? You know, and it sets up like, okay, what's next year's free agency going to look like? What's the trade value of these guys next year? So as fun as it is in these 48 hours, it's almost setting it up to even be more fun a year from now.
I think, and if this is your first time here with us, thank you. We do not only live shows, we've got tons, follow us everywhere. But if you follow us, you know that Aiden and I usually have a joint team together. I mean, I am a Cowboys fan. He is an Eagles fan. But there's always one team that we kind of root for together, and we like the vibes. We were big Chargers guys for a while. We jumped off the bandwagon. We got away. Last year was kind of the Panthers. That was a dumpster fire. I think I have our joint team for this year, and I want to see if you can guess it before we get into the Eagles.
AFC or NFC?
AFC.
Well, it has to be AFC. I don't think we've ever chosen an NFC team because that would be
the Panthers are in the NFC.
But I thought our team was the Ravens last year.
Oh, yeah, they were the Ravens. Yeah, you're right.
Like, we like the way they draft. Yeah. We like Callahan. Yeah. Is it the Ravens again?
No.
It's def. Wow.
Fun, cool, up and coming, making moves in free agency too.
Fun, cool, up and coming, and they're in the AFC. I feel like this is very blatant and I'm not going to be able to figure it out.
Not too far away from my team.
Houston. Yep. Houston. You're right. You touched on it earlier. Joe Mixon for a 7th-round pick. Why not?
They got Danielle Hunter too.
Yeah. They're stacking up too. And they did last year, and they drafted Tank Dell. That worked.
We both loved Tank Dell last year coming out.
Yeah. Dalton Schultz, you know, having a great time there. He's not a zoo animal anymore like he was at some places that will remain unnamed. But they're a good team, man. They're fun to watch.
They are.
CJ Stroud dissed my hometown, though. I don't know. I feel like I the way he said Harrisburg, Pennsylvania was the most disrespectful way I've ever heard the town pronounced.
No one's ever pronounced it that way in the history.
No one ever said it that way. It was derogatory, is what it was. But no, we liked him coming out of the draft. I think both of us had him as offensive player of the year, I think, because we were like, listen, the Texans, they won't be awful, so they'll be in games, he'll be throwing, and it kind of turned out that way. They were in games. They made the playoffs.
They were.
They are a good team. Listen, I think I've seen some Cowboys people shifting over there and being like, oh, my Texans. No, no, no. You're going to sink with the ship. And if the Texans float by and save you on the raft, like Titanic, then you're allowed to jump ship.
You want to talk Eagles?
Let's do it. Let's talk about a team that actually does stuff, does good stuff. Let's start with this because I did a full show yesterday. It's on the Birds vs. Boys Pod YouTube. I went live last night talking about all the moves yesterday, so you can find that. We'll touch on that just a little bit together so we can bounce it off each other. But they just recently signed Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. I just find this incredibly ironic in so many ways. Number one being 3 years, $33 million. That's probably what they offered him last year, and he said no.
Probably so right.
It's literally just the deal that he was offered a year ago. Didn't get the long-term security that he had hoped for from the Eagles. They gave him a short-term deal. He didn't get a long-term deal anywhere else. Goes to the Lions on a short-term deal. And then ends up back with the Eagles for 3 years, $33 million.
It's just, we'll give you a dollar.
We'll give you a dollar. Three. Take it or leave it. That was the Eagles. Last year, there was Patrick from SpongeBob. They're like, three. Take it or leave it. This time he took it. So I'm very glad to have him back. But it was just incredibly ironic to me that we got right back where we started. And he's only 26, so that's okay.
Yep. Yep. I mean, I think there was times where he's a liability in coverage. I don't think he's the best safety nickel guy, but I mean, at that, to come back, he was the heart of that defense. You had many issues, safety, nickel play too. Do you think that this kind of moves them away from Avante Maddox?
No, not necessarily. And you mentioned this. This is a very important point. Remember in Pirates of the Caribbean, he was like, you are the worst pirate that I've ever heard of. And Captain Jack Sparrow's like, but you have heard of me. That is you're saying like, well, he's not the best safety nickel combo, but he is a safety nickel combo. And that's something that the Eagles don't have right now. And I'll tell you who was a liability at safety last year. Every fucking person who played for the team, they were atrocious. And it was a turnstile at that position. They had Justin Evans. He ended up on IR, so he didn't play. They had Terrell Edmonds, but then they traded him. They brought in Kevin Byer, but they released him because he wasn't really effective here, and he was owed $13 million. So you look at that safety position, the most reliable person was Reed Blankenship, who was hurt twice. So I would venture to guess that even if you have liability issues with Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, and he gambles, he takes risks, he's aggressive, that can lead to penalties, it is 10 notches above what they were working with a year ago. And absolutely, it's just in a variety of ways. I last night when I did my free agency recap day one, I did a what's next section. And I was talking about how important safety is, and that's the position they're going to target next. Jeff Mosher brought this up, but they'll probably get two safeties. Like, there's nobody that they're going to find day one, day two, day three of the draft that's going to be able to hop in and play safety right away at a high level.
I think there is a guy that they could get at 22 that would.
Let me rephrase. They could get him, but then it opens up a lot of other holes that they need to fill, and I don't know if they could fill those at 22.
Okay.
And it's like the holes in the dam. Like, if you plug one, it's just going to open another. But I do think that two safeties were on the table, and Chauncey Gardner-Johnson was the most obvious name once Xavier McKinney was off and for the price tag that he was off at. I think this is a very reasonable deal at 3 years, $33 million. Again, he's still 26 years old, so even at the end of this, he'll still be in his prime. I'm 29, so that counts. 29 is still in your prime. I would just like that to be out there. I just think it was a no-brainer move, and at the very least, this move made sense the moment that the 49ers came out on that field and totally bitched your secondary before the game even started. That game ended before it even started. 11 months of trash talk. They came out on the field, walked right through your secondary drills. Nobody said a word. Nobody said a peep. They just watched him do it. James Bradbury stood there like he was a monk who took an oath of silence. It did not matter what happened, like, for the past 11 months and the amount of trash talk that they had on you. They walked through you like they owned you in your own stadium, and that would just never happen with Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. He is the number one hater of Deebo Samuel. I'm number two, but at the same time, they lacked life. They lacked life, and he never did on the field. And I think from that standpoint and from everywhere, the positional versatility, the talent, he had six interceptions the year ago with the Eagles. Nobody made big plays in this Eagles secondary a year ago. And he has heart. So it checks every single box that you can think of.
All right. I'm going to run through some names here since you mentioned that they are probably going to want another safety. I thought too you were going to get, well, I know Xavier McKinney was who you were really targeting, but I thought you were going to finally get your other guy that you've always wanted, who signed with the Commanders, Jeremy Chinn.
I thought that too.
1 year, $5 million.
That's nothing. That's small potatoes. That I think I like some of what the Commanders are doing, to be honest with you. Hey, they have a great owner who pays a lot of attention. He, you know, great guy, not a huge scumbag at all. All of his focus is on one team. That's not detrimental to anybody else. What a piece of shit.
All right. Cameron Curl.
Am I saying yes or no to all these guys?
Yeah. There's not a few. There's not a lot left. Or you just shout out when there's one that you.
Okay.
Julian Blackman.
You out? Well,
that's Jordan a maybe. Fuller.
Maybe.
Jordan Whitehead.
Another maybe.
Deshaun Elliott.
I like him.
Tayshaun Gibson.
Mm.
Mike Edwards.
I kind of like him.
Micah Hyde.
Yeah. All the Bills people I like.
J'Ron Kearse.
No.
Eddie Jackson.
I did like him.
Sam Franklin Jr.
You went to Temple, so that's an automatic yes.
John Johnson.
Another yes.
This would be funny. Terrell Edmonds.
No. Tried that once, didn't work. Tracy not going Walker. Back to the well on that one. We're going back to the well on Chauncey. We're not going back to the well on Terrell Edmonds. No shot.
Tracy Walker.
Where was he before? That's what's going to bother me that I can't remember. He was with the Bengals, wasn't he?
Lions.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Yeah. They just released him, and that was kind of a surprise.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that. It would be very funny if we just took the Lions secondary. We'll just take Bikini Bottom and push it somewhere else. But yeah, I'd be okay with that.
And then the last two, Ryan Neal and Ashton Davis. So there's names out there.
You didn't name my the fella from the Denver Broncos who will probably end up here.
Oh, Simmons?
Yeah, Simmons.
Yeah, I don't know why he's not on this list.
I don't know, but that seems like the most logical person. And there's been multiple people who said, hey, just because they're in on Chauncey doesn't mean they're out on Simmons. And just because they're in on Simmons doesn't mean they're out on Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. So if they both end up here, again, I would not be shocked. I thought that they would change their ways on linebacker. But if they don't invest in free agency and try to build that position through the draft, that means they'll probably spend it here and in free agency on safety. So who knows? I do think, and this is another thing, when Chauncey Gardner-Johnson originally came here, they got him in near training camp. I almost said spring training because that's where I was the past week. And you think about like DeAndre Swift. We got him day three of the draft. So if they don't spend this money right now and you're saying, well, they have cap space left, what are they doing? It's because they got time. There's always time and there's always names that come available that aren't available now. But I do think Simmons from Denver just makes so much sense with the Vic Fangio thing. I didn't want him to be your premier signing because of his age. And that's why when we did that like postseason show, I was like, Xavier McKinney's my guy at 24. Yep. But, you know, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson at 26, I'm not really complaining and crying too many tears about it. I'm pretty excited that he's back.
Agreed. And it's just funny looking through some of these names still left out there. We're, you know, talking about the Cowboys too. Like Willie Gay signs a 1-year deal. I would have loved him in linebacker for Dallas, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, Bobby Wagner's still out there coming off his most tackles in his career. I think that has Commanders written all over it. Dan Quinn, reunited.
They're building a super team in 2019.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Zach Ertz.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Zach Cunningham.
No. Mm-hmm. Let me save you the trouble on Zach Cunningham. Don't do it.
Cowboys are going to sign Zach Cunningham and Shaq Leonard. They're just gonna good luck. Move yeah.
Bottom. Bikini Bottom and push it somewhere else. It's the quote from Arrested Development is like, did it work for them? No. But could it work for us? Yes.
Yes. Oh, it is just, that's our life right now. I really did think
both of our teams, my one surprise so far, I thought this would be the year that we'd start to look at linebacker. But aside from, you know, Patrick Queen, Willie Gay, Aziz, who were the guys at linebacker that you were saying, all right, like these are premier names. And I think we both thought Patrick Queen, the price tag might be too high.
Yep.
I didn't think it ended up being that high, to be honest with you.
No.
But
3 years, 41.
We can do that. But they gave it to Chauncey. Look, and that's the thing. When you have as many holes as the Eagles did, they gave 3 years, $33 million to Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. I'm not going to complain. But that means you can't give 3 years, $41 million to Patrick Queen. And that's fine.
Yep. Like, I would have liked Jordan Brooks. He's okay. The safety coming from Seattle. He signs with Miami. I thought Frankie Louvu, who signed with Washington, I would have liked him. He signed a 3 year, $31 million deal. So, I mean, there were definitely guys out there, and there still are a couple left. I mean, wouldn't hate Bobby Wagner. Jordan Hicks would have been nice too. I mean, for
that
2 years.
That was one I thought, I was like, all right, that's going to be the guy.
2 years, eight.
That's nothing. That's small potatoes these days. I really thought that was the guy we were going to see first before Chauncey Gardner-Johnson was Jordan Hicks coming home to the Eagles. I really thought that was going to happen. It just felt like a move where you're like, oh yeah, that guy. And then you're like, 2 years, $8 million. Yeah, sign me up.
Nicholas Morrow heading to Buffalo.
Have fun. The Buffalo, they're in an interesting position. The amount of talent that they lost on defense. Gabe Davis to the Jaguars, which is another guy. The Jaguars are just forming the Avengers of people I can't talk myself out of in fantasy football. Christian Kirk, Calvin Ridley, Gabe Davis, all people that are going to get you 2.5 points in fantasy or 25.5 points in fantasy. Yep. And most of the time I start all three at once and they get me 2.5 each. I can't talk myself out of all of them. Everyone listening, please remind me in August, do not draft a Jacksonville Jaguar because it always ends up points. I'll have 6.5. Yeah, 7.5 points between the three of them. That's interesting though. I think the Bills are in a really interesting spot.
Now, do you think any of these guys, you think anybody else is on the move happening soon trade-wise?
Josh
Sweat. You think Sweat's going?
Well, when you say, what was his comment today? It was like, I thank you all for the memories or I'll miss you all. Yeah.
Yeah.
I usually don't sit, like, I don't show up at my job and go on Microsoft Teams and type in miss you all if I'm not actively, one, being fired, or two, putting in my 2 weeks notice. So
you should just do that tomorrow. Just no context. Just type it in the chat.
Miss you all. That would be very, very funny if I did that. It's like when everyone does that meme where it's like if office jobs were like the NFL. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson's deal with the Eagles, 3 years, $27 million with $10 million in guarantees. He could earn more via incentives. So it's just $10 million in guarantees for this guy.
It's easy.
This is I feel like I'm Christian Bale in The Big Short when they sign these free agents. Like, we are just capitalizing on everyone else's stupidity.
What do you think would be fair compensation for a Josh Sweat trade?
I think that they would probably get a third round pick out of him. I think Hassan Reddick would probably warrant a second round. I think the price tag I saw for Hassan Reddick was like a second and a fourth or a second and a fifth, which is, I think, would be fair if he was able to negotiate with another team to land that extension. Because right now you just have him for that 1 year at $15 million. That kind of decreases the trade value a little bit if you're getting a one-year rental. If it's a team that, you know, similar to the Tyreek Hill situation where he got traded, but the extension was already agreed upon. If they can do that with Hassan Reddick, I think it's worth the second and the fifth or second and the fourth, whatever it might be. For Josh Sweat, I think you're probably looking at a third, probably like a later round pick as well attached to that. So, do I like that? No. But at the same time, I talked about this yesterday when I did the day one. They are trying to find ascending people. They don't want to be stuck with the bag when the guy leaves his prime. And Josh Sweat was a perfect example of that. They gave his extension before he was a three-down defensive end for them. Came out of Florida State, dropped in the draft because he had a knee issue. In his first few years, he did not play all three downs, and they didn't know if he could because of that knee. He turned out great. The extension has been great. If this is the end, I would be very disappointed because I love him and I love Hassan Reddick as well. But I understand the logic of trying to get younger and target those of people ascending into their prime like Bryce Huff. So I think he would be a guy who could be on the trade block. But, you know, again, when someone tweets or comments, "We'll miss you all," it leads me to believe that they probably will not be back.
What about Justin Fields being traded to the Eagles for QB2?
That exists on one radio station only. No offense, but like that's
not,
you know, like history is doomed to repeat itself.
Never know.
It's Germany in the 1920s and the Eagles bring in too many quarterbacks. History is doomed to repeat itself.
Hey, Marcus Mariota about to be QB1 in Washington.
How did he get $10 million? What did anyone see that he could get $10 million? I do think, just going back to the Justin Fields thing, I don't know if you saw the tweet today, but it literally made me laugh out loud, where somebody tweeted, he's like, "I would draft Caleb Williams number one and just have him sit behind Fields and like rack up the wins with Fields." And somebody posted that Drake music video where he's showing Lil Yachty how to like do the computer. And he's like, "Oh," the guy's like, "just win a bunch of games with Justin Fields." It's like, there's a reason they have two top 10 picks this year. It's because the whole win a bunch of games with Justin Fields thing isn't working too well.
I saw something else too, where the radio station in Boston was just suggesting that Justin Fields just play wide receiver. just play wide receiver.
Yeah, well, hey, listen, they tried to do that to Lamar Jackson and he turned out to be an MVP, so maybe they can turn around with Justin Fields. I don't know what they're going to do. You and I love Caleb Williams, so if for me,
I like
you Caleb don't love him anymore? When did this change?
No. I like him as a player. I don't like him as a person.
Oh.
Like, he's a biatch. Always have. But I don't like the nail polish thing.
No.
I don't
like the... Listen, if he wins 13 games a year for my team, I don't care what he puts on his nails, as long as the hand works.
He's a USC quarterback. I'm a Notre Dame fan, so
that is true. Okay, but that's where the problem came.
But I think he's QB1.
We loved him at Oklahoma, then he went to USC, and then he didn't like him because he liked Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. That checks out.
Checks out. We'll see how many other. You know, does Michael Gallup end up moving? Do the Cowboys make any type of trades like they did last year? Does T. Higgins, who requested a trade, end up somewhere else? Can you imagine him ending up in Kansas City?
We've been saying this since before they won the Super Bowl, that just felt like a natural kind of spot, knowing that T. Higgins and this kind of was a possibility that he was going to get franchise tagged or he's going to be a free agent. What's stopping them from saying, yeah, why not?
No, Cincinnati being like, yeah, no, we're not giving you him.
That is true. Yeah, I guess the franchise tag probably saved them from him signing in Kansas City.
Can you imagine?
I wonder what his price tag would be.
Playing your career with Joe Burrow and then Patrick Mahomes.
Can't get better than that. That's like being a co-star in Euphoria. And it's like, okay, I'm with two actresses. It's Zendaya and it's Sydney Sweeney. It's like, well, you did all right.
And now Justin Jefferson staring Sam Darnold in the face.
That poor guy. Hey, but I made that point earlier. That is a bad thing right now for Minnesota. It is a very good thing for 31 other teams. I'm just saying. Not out of the realm of possibilities that we could get Justin Jefferson in the end. That is the pipe dream of all pipe dreams. I guess we could get into Saquon, but Justin Jefferson ending up on the Eagles after the sequence of events that led to this would be the funniest possible outcome in the NFL.
You know what else is before we get into Saquon, is kind of hilarious, is this whole, well, first, the tampering period. Shout out, yeah. LBI. But like deals being announced 38 seconds after it starts. But if you think about it and you're just like, how the hell would Atlanta sign Kirk Cousins to that much money without being able to do a physical on him or anything coming off an Achilles injury?
Yeah. I don't know if you remember this, but do you remember, I think it was the COVID year, maybe the year after. No, it's like 2019 in the NBA, and it was like free agency, and at 6 o'clock, Woj just tweeted like 40 straight tweets. 6 o'clock, he tweeted 40 times in a minute. And it was like, did all these people sign at 6:01 and talk to the teams and agree, or did some things get done beforehand? And I feel like that's where we're at with the NFL. It's like,
you have
the
really legal fast tampering fingers. Period
began, and the illegal tampering period began last week.
Yes. At the combine.
At the combine. Yeah, honestly.
Or at the Super Bowl. Or but during the season last year.
It's interesting what the league does about that, because it's just fun. Everybody's having fun. Everybody's engaged and loving it. So do they even want to change it? The NFL or the NBA cracked down and they give penalties out now. But at the end of the NFL, do you want to crack down? It feels like everyone's kind of enjoying it, and they're okay with it being the wild, wild west.
Hey, maybe, just maybe, Jerry, Steven, Will McCoy. They're just very good rule followers.
Yeah. Wait till they don't want to break the rules. Talk to the guys beforehand.
They're just waiting for free agency to act. They're not into tampering. They're just into following the rules, doing it the right kind of way. They're just going to wait till the doors open to enter the ball.
Yeah, 4:00 Wednesday, they'll be like, all right, let's talk to some fellas. Who do we got? Who's ready to go? Like walking an old country buffet. They're like, all right, everything's on the table right now. 4:00 on a Wednesday.
Perfect. All right. You can gloat for 2 minutes.
Okay, Saquon.
Now you're overpriced, overpaid, overhyped, always injured running back.
The prodigal son returns to Pennsylvania, Saquon Barkley. I'm so excited. I've admitted this many times, but I am intensely biased. Saquon was on our Christmas card 1 year because he has a picture with one of my family members. That's how biased we are. I'm very excited. I will be purchasing the jersey immediately.
I love Jesus, too.
What would Jesus do?
Thank you. No, I love Jesus. Love Jesus. In.
But yeah, I have legitimate football reasons. I think you and I talked about this. There were risks to it, and I admitted those risks, but I'm not going to complain about having a really fun NFL running back on my team. That's electrifying. The Cowboys have watched other NFC teams go all in, Rams, Niners, Eagles, and have a Super Bowl trip at minimum. Yeah.
Yep.
They don't do it.
Oh, they
got to get with the times, man. And all those teams has going all in backfired on them.
No, because I mean, people thought it was backfiring on the Rams.
Yeah. And now look.
Yeah, exactly. Puka Nacua.
You have to draft well to get yourself out of that, but
yep.
They were in the playoffs. They probably should have won that game against the Lions this year.
Yep.
Now they have cap space this year.
Yep.
So,
Stafford's arm seems like it's back. Even if, let's say, he plays one or two more years, they'll be able to replace,
It was a rigatoni noodle for a minute.
That'd be a fun landing spot for Dak Prescott next year.
It would. L.A.
I know my landing spot for him if he doesn't resign this year.
Vegas.
Yep.
100%. Oh, I got it. I thought 100%. Christian Wilkins to the Raiders was one of the more underrated signings of these two days. I thought that was a great signing.
I think Antonio Pierce is going to build a team there.
So do I. They need a quarterback, but they can do that.
Dak Prescott.
They can do that. Dak Prescott. Yeah, there you go. In a year, they'll have Dak Prescott. That's the other thing of rebuilding if you're the Cowboys. What if Dak Prescott just walks in a year? Then what is your rebuild? I feel like it's the same thing.
That's it. I mean, they haven't drafted a quarterback in the first round. I think it's them and the Saints for the longest time. I think Troy Aikman, it's just Tony Romo was an undrafted free agent. They are so fearful of that quarterback purgatory that they were in post Aikman before they had Romo, right? When they had Quincy Carter, Chad Hutchinson, Vinny Testaverde, all that crap. Eddie George was there for a little bit playing running back. So they're terrified of that. And I think that's why in the end, this deal will get done. And I think it'll get done in August during training camp because that's just how they do business. But if they don't and they let him walk, it's a full, because I think the quarterback and the coach are tied together. So if Dak walks, Mike's gone. And it's complete reset.
I think Mike might be gone for other reasons if things don't turn out the way that they're supposed to in Dallas.
Hey, look how long he held on to Jason Garrett.
That is true. Mike McCarthy is becoming the Doc Rivers of the NFL, where he's got one title and he's clinging to that title and it's giving him jobs for quite some time.
He's comfortable for Jerry and Steven. And that's all they care about. Money, headlines, and comfort. Money, headlines, and comfort. That's it. I said this to somebody yesterday and I tweeted it. They truly, and if you don't believe me, pigs fly. Okay. And enjoy Harry. The Hogwarts is a real place. You can go eat chocolate raindrops. Okay. This is real. Jerry and Steven Jones don't care about winning another Super Bowl. Another Super Bowl does nothing for the Dallas Cowboys in terms of popularity. They are the most popular franchise in the entire world. They are the most profitable franchise in the entire world. There you go. And not winning a championship for 30 years has not affected that. They are the most popular and the most profitable while also not winning titles. So what is winning a Super Bowl going to do? Just make them the most popular, most richest. Like, they don't care. They care about being in the headlines, which saying all in and all that BS keeps them in the headlines. It's all anyone's talking about. They like comfort. That's why they kept Jason Garrett. That's why they hold on to Mike McCarthy, because they get to run the show the way that they want to. And everyone's like, well, you know, I don't agree because Jerry Jones hired Bill Parcells, and he hired Bill Parcells because he needed money to build a stadium and he needed more buzz. And that's, he used Bill Parcells to build AT&T Stadium. Comfort is what Jerry and Steven are all about. They like doing things their own way. They don't care. And money. You literally see that stadium packed day in and day out in the season, whether it's, and they don't care if it's Cowboys fans or it's Jaguars fans. Your butts in the seat and you're buying Cowboy Ritas, they don't care. You see the videos Cowboy of all the Ritas. Idiots running to their seats every goddamn game to stand, They don't care about you. They don't care about me. They care about you putting money in their pocket by buying merchandise and going to games. And that's it.
The Cowboy Rita thing makes me laugh. How much do those cost? Like $32?
Probably.
Yeah. I didn't get to brag about Saquon.
Go.
Thank you. Okay. So I said this last night. It's kind of like the crazy hot scale in How I Met Your Mother. Like, you have to stay above this line in terms of hotness in order to make it work. And there's enough on the crazy scale with him that there are legitimate concerns, putting my biases aside. So, injury risk, obvious one. Sprains his ankle once a year. 2, running back with an ACL tear past the age of 25. Running back position in general.
Yep.
Kind of easy to find a replacement for not a lot of money. On the opposite side, on the hot side of the scale, they haven't had a 3-down running back like this in so long. He is electrifying. I think there were missing elements for this team last year that we had a level of trust in DeAndre Swift that the coaching staff clearly did not. And you saw that early. Week 1, Kenneth Gainwell was out snapping him. Swift got like 3 carries. There was like an emphasis on pass catching and training camp with the backs, and then you just never saw it the entire year. Saquon changes that. I think there were blocking issues and blitz pickup issues with the running backs. And you saw blitz pickup in general was pretty bad for this team. Saquon changes that. It's like having a 5-tool player in baseball who can hit, who can run, who can field, all of these things. Saquon is that in running back form.
Yep.
He, to me, is like the Joe Burrow of running backs, where you're trying to model after Christian McCaffrey, who's that do-everything guy, your outlet, your safety thing, whatever you want to call it. Nobody, and he's like the Mahomes of the running back position. Nobody is Mahomes, but Burrow is close. And I feel like that way with, but Burrow, another guy with injury risk history. So I think a good comp for him would be Saquon Barkley at the running back position. And that's why I'm so excited. The level of trust that they have in this guy is something that they haven't had in quite some time.
Yeah.
Besides having one serious injury, he's never played less than 13 games in a season. He gets dinged up, but his injury history is overblown. I'd agree with that somewhat. I just think it's the constant ankle things that worry me. Because it's like every year he sprains his ankle. So he might not, you know, he's playing more than 13 games. That's a great point. Like, yeah, that's exactly what you want. But I feel like he's always is missing one or two because he has a high ankle sprain or something like that. I feel like that's happened multiple times. So, but again, I am just completely excited. Listen, there was a reason that Miles Sanders sat behind Saquon Barkley at Penn State. It's because Saquon Barkley is just a better running back. Like, Saquon is just better than DeAndre Swift. He's just better than Miles Sanders. Yep. They are getting the best running back that they've had since LeSean McCoy. They're getting the best pass-catching running back that they've had since Brian Westbrook.
And he's running behind the best offensive line he ever has in his career.
By a million.
Mm-hmm.
Because it literally was just like... I think what the Giants were 31st in run rate last year and the Eagles were second. So you're just totally flipping the script. It'll be a great social experiment just from a football fan point of view to see what he looks like in a competent offense with a good offensive line. And I really like, if you're a Giants fan and you're mad, you need to be directing your hate and vitriol somewhere else. Like, that front office failed Saquon, running behind terrible offensive lines, and they were constantly drafting at the top, trying to get offensive linemen that work, and they were constantly busts. And he'd get stopped 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage 11 times a game, and you're thinking, is this guy a bust? And it's really like, this offensive line sucks. Like, you see Miles Sanders with the Panthers now, nothing's going on. It's because the Eagles' offensive line is just better. The holes are better.
I don't understand the whole vitriol. Like, I understand. Well, I understand it from a fan's point of view of like, oh, they go to the Eagles. Like, you know, it'd be the same thing if Zeke was still in his prime and he went to Philly for me. But
that'd be wild.
Like, logically, if you think about it, they never had a winning team around him.
No,
they literally paid Daniel Jones instead of him. They franchise tagged him last year. It was time for both sides. Like, let your guy be free. I think if he went to, like, you know, Vegas or something, it would, you know, there would be more Giants fans being like, you know what, good for you. You got paid. You know, I'm going to root for you. I'm going to miss you. It's the perception of going to Philly. Like, that's what's causing more. That's what's causing more of the Tiki Barber thing and all this. And it's just blown up on both sides. It's blown up on Tiki's side and on Saquon's side. Like, just move on. We're adults. But, you know, the Giants did nothing for him to be like, you know what, I'm going to be loyal, take less money and stay here and continue to pound my head into the ground, into the worst turf in the NFL against the worst offensive line in the NFL.
Yeah, I brought that up last night. They didn't do anything for him on the field or off the field. They had terrible offensive lines that he ran behind on the most dangerous field in the NFL that players constantly complain about. And we're sitting here talking about injury history on a terrible field. On the field, it wasn't like a great product. But take that away. Say that they offered him a contract and he just spurned them. That didn't happen. They franchise tagged him instead of giving him a long-term extension. They gave the long-term extension to a quarterback who 99% of the NFL community was like, hey, this is probably a bust. It's not going to work. And here we are now, a year later, saying, hey, that's not going to work. So they allocated the resources somewhere else instead of a long-term extension for Saquon. You gave him a hall pass in the relationship, and he didn't come back. You can't really be mad about that. I know why you're mad that he went to a rival and everything like that, but you need to be pointing the finger to your front office and saying, how did we get to the point that he could leave and go to a rival? That'd be the question that I'd be asking myself if I were a Giants fan right now.
As my tweet has hit 3 million, Aiden, 3 million.
Love that.
I feel good. This is my feel good of the week.
This is your magnum opus. They have to see him twice a year, and the Eagles usually beat up on them. It's adding insult to injury. The dominance that the Eagles have had against the Giants is kind of crazy in my lifetime, at least. They had the 2018 game on last night, Kevin, of Eagles-Giants.
Yep.
What names galore. It was Saquon's rookie year, and wow, what a cast of characters on the field that day. You wouldn't believe it. It feels, that game was 5 years ago. It feels like 13. It was crazy. Eli Manning was the quarterback. Odell was a Giant. Saquon's rookie year. Malcolm Jenkins was making every tackle. He's the only one on the defense doing anything. Chris Long was out there. It was crazy. Wentz was the quarterback. I forgot what his voice sounded like, to be honest. Goddard caught one. They're like, this rookie coming up.
They were showing highlights of Saquon, and I was like, oh my God, Eli's handing the ball. Like, I almost forgot that they played together.
Yeah, it's wild. Time has flown. I also want to talk about this. Penn State, I want an open investigation into Penn State, because how did they have that much talent?
Boy issues or
no. Okay. On field talent investigation. How did they have that much talent and never make a college football playoff? Like, they had Saquon, Chris Godwin, Mike Gesicki. Like, that was, they were all on the same team. Deshaun Hamilton was the other wide receiver at that time. Miles Sanders, who's an NFL running back, was their backup. Micah Parsons on defense. They had like half the defense is in the league now. How did they never make a college football playoff?
That's because they just clone the same like 5'11" white quarterback and just they move do. Bikini Bottom.
we have Trace McSorley at home, and it's just Sean Clifford.
Yeah, literally, they're the same person. The same person.
But they always go to the combine then, and they test out of the realm of possibility athletically.
Christian Hackenberg, baby.
Every position. They just, every year, it's like some guy from Penn State breaks the record for like bench press or 40-yard dash. And you have these guys who are just, we accept as freak athletes like Micah and Saquon Barkley, who squat 600 and run a 4.3, and they just do everything right. Like, they find all these guys. Chop Robinson set the record for defensive line 40-yard dash this year. Where are they finding these people? And why is it not resulting in college football playoff appearances? I want a documentary on Penn State and the amount of talent they had.
That reminds me, I saw from Penn State, Gross Matos just signed, I think. He was a free agent. That was one of the best. That was the COVID year when the draft, when Roger Goodell was doing it from his basement in his chair, and he announced the pick, and he's like, what do you call him? He goes, Gross Matos.
Gross Matos.
It's awesome.
Yator Gross Matos. That sounds like a pronunciation that I would have as we go through our mock drafts.
Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah.
I'll never get it.
Until
him being good, though, we called it. We knew he'd be good. Man, that's the one I really regret.
He's got to be coming up on free agency or something soon. Maybe
he has to, because that was that year. So, I mean, maybe they already re-signed him. If he's not... I know our free agent target. Bring him to me. So, right, I think if you're the Eagles right now, there are a lot of holes to fill, but they've done good so far, because I really like it. I'm going to finish with what I started on. Bringing in guys like Matt Hennessy, like that'll go so under the radar when you sign people like Saquon. But it makes all the difference. Tyler Steen played this year. Sua Peta played this year. Like, that guard, Juergens and Dickerson, both missed time. To have a reliable six man on that offensive line go so far, and it's the kind of opposites of the realms, where you have the splash signings like Saquon, but you make those marginal difference moves that will come in handy week 9 when Landon Dickerson has a sprained ankle. Like, it's a great move, and I think they do a great job with stuff like that.
Or you just don't sign anybody.
Or you go the Cowboys route and don't sign anybody. I don't know what the plan is. Like, they legit, it's not like it's like they have bad players. They do not have players at certain positions.
This is a great question, and I don't know the answer to it, because we've never seen Kellen Moore with a quarterback like Jalen Hurts who can move like that. So he doesn't really love to run the damn ball. But he will utilize Saquon out of the backfield as a receiver a lot, I think. So I'm interested.
That's a great question. And I know this has been reported, I think, is James Palmer. One of the reasons that they signed Saquon, Kellen Moore wanted him for that offense and an emphasis on play action. That was something the fan base was calling for all last year, where the offense got so predictable. There's no play action. I thought they did such a great job with it in 2022 and fell off with it in 2023. Well, if your eyes are in the backfield on a guy like Saquon, that really opens up things downfield to get the ball to Devontae Smith, to get the ball to AJ Brown. I just think that kind of like safety outlet there to have Saquon at all times, where you're like, okay, we prevented the home run with AJ, with Goddard, with Smith. And then you kick it in the flat to Saquon. He makes a guy miss, and it's like, all right, it's still 2nd and 3. Like, we did everything right, and it's 2nd and 3. I think that's going to go a long way this year.
All right, I'm going to end it with this, with the Cowboys. Something I've touched on already in the show, but... we've had more people join. Thank you for everybody who has been watching for the hour that we've been on. Aiden, get your fingers ready. Okay. We're heading into day three of the tampering period. Dallas Cowboys need to fill and replace starting left tackle, starting center, two running backs, possibly two cornerbacks, a safety, probably two linebackers.
We're at nine.
Probably a defensive end. Probably, actually, definitely a defensive tackle. And you might need a wide receiver.
So that's,
and wait, probably also another offensive tackle as well. And they have $1 to spend.
They've got 1 yen. They don't even have a dollar. They're working in Japanese currency.
They have one leapfrog ice cream dollar. that my daughter literally, when she brings the ice cream cart to my office if I'm working here, and I'm like, oh, I'll have a vanilla, she hands it to me, and if I don't have one of these, she will take it back from me. She knows the importance of money.
Hey, teach capitalism young. Let's get after it.
We'll see. Day three starts tomorrow, but we, like we said, they're rule followers, so I think they're going to wait till 4 p.m. on Wednesday.
They'll be making some. Hey, then we'll be back tomorrow and they'll be making some moves. I can't wait.
I'm very interested to see if any deals get reneged anywhere.
Something will happen. That is a great point, because I feel like that happens. And why does it happen? Is it failed physicals? Is it because someone went back on it and they're like, actually, I don't want to go to this team. I think I like a deal elsewhere. I think that happens like once a year. So
because I'm sure even though guys are agreed, like teams that are interested, like what if they come up with $5 extra million or something and go to the agent?
Great point. You know, in college football all the time, until your name's on the dotted line, like if you're a verbal commitment, you're not actually committed to the school.
Nope.
You're verbally and officially signed letter of intent are two very different things. That comes into play here. This is the legal tampering period. You can mutually agree, but your name's not on the dotted line yet till Wednesday at 4 o'clock. So we'll see. It'll be fun.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, love Jesus. Thanks for the show, guys. This is a lot of fun. I'll tell you what, signing people who are good at football, I'm just going to go on record here. It's a lot of fun when you sign people who are really good at football. It's a lot of fun. I'm having fun.
Yeah, I'm glad we signed one of the best long snappers in the league.
True. So did we. We brought our punter back. We brought our line snapper, our long snapper back. We got them back. We got a safety. We got a defensive end. We got one of the coolest and funnest running backs in the game. Let's go. This is the best.
How about the Chiefs getting the punt god too?
Yeah, I'm very interested with that. I know, like, if you miss time in sports, you kind of get rusty and you never are the same. Does that happen with punters? Like, is he going to be the same? I don't know.
I don't think it's that hard to practice punting anywhere.
No, but I don't know how that translates to like real game action when 11 people are coming after you. Especially like he never actually played in the league. He got drafted and that case immediately happened. So I genuinely have no idea if he'll be good or not.
All right, everybody. Thank you for watching live here on our YouTube page, on Twitter as well. We do full episodes. They are housed anywhere you listen to podcasts, Google, Apple, Spotify. We are there. Our YouTube channel is where you'll find also full episodes where if you want to look at our beautiful faces. We do player breakdowns. We are doing mock drafts. We love draft season. This week, I think Aiden and I are going to do another 3-round mock draft where I draft for the Cowboys, Aiden drafts for the Eagles. That will be on our YouTube page. Our Twitter page is just lots of fun, right? Lots of funny memes. I have one going viral right now, KMS22. Aiden is at Aiden_powers__. And then we are on Instagram and TikTok as well. Make sure you hit that subscribe button, smash the follow button, tell your friends, tell your family. Yes, the show is called Birds vs. Boys. I am a Cowboys fan. Aiden is a Birds fan, but we cover the entire NFL from draft to Super Bowl and everything in between. So thank you for watching. We really appreciate it. Enjoy free agency or enjoy your vacation if you're just not doing anything for
I did both. I went on vacation and I got Saquon Barkley. It's the best. This is the best. The Phillies are good. We have Saquon Barkley. CJ Gardner-Johnson is back. This is the best. I'm having fun. I don't know about you. This is fun.
I, You want to know what my, so this isn't, I'm going to end on this. This is what I love. And I think you're kind of like this with me. I love obscure sports and I like them at like all different times. That's why I love like the Olympics. I love the World Cup when, you know, it's like 2 a.m. and you can like, there's curling is on or something. I just love it. Yeah. But my wife is due in June with our second child. And that first month, 2 months is you don't sleep. And you're up in the middle of the night, like four times a night, Summer Olympics in Paris. I will be watching rugby and high diving and all the good things. So I'm excited too. I'm happy.
I cannot believe the Cowboys have taken you to a place mentally that you're excited for the diving and the Summer Olympics. Oh, dear Lord. Oh, man. I feel for you. But we have Saquon, so I don't feel for you that much.
Goodbye.
Chris Hansen here, and I'm going to need you all to take a seat right over there and check out Birds versus Boys.
I think you're completely right here, and I hate it.
Yep. Idiots, stop doing dumb things.
I got two phones.
Upside alert, upside alert.
I might go insane.
I think you're already there.
There's no hope. Hope is gone.
If this was an AFC North podcast, we'd be done in 15 minutes.
Bob Hope.
I'm going to drink bleach.
That is
the team you promised me you were going to be this year.
This is the Consciously Hopeful Podcast.
I'll be watching.